This is Kevin Roderick with LA Observed for KCRW. You don't have to be much of a sports fan to appreciate the story possibilities that are out there as a result of both local baseball teams making the playoffs. The Angels, down in Anaheim, have been ahead of the pack all season, and next week will begin a quest to reach the World Series for the second time in a few years. The Dodgers' ride in a postseason play has been much more cinematic, with plot turns and hero characters, and with a third act that so far has been pretty smashing. If you haven't followed the saga, the Dodgers began casting this season by giving star billing to Joe Torre. He's the old baseball hand with the tilt to his walk and the classic face out of a Godfather movie. Torre came from the Yankees, where his teams won plenty of games year after year, but never enough to satisfy the ravenous New York media. So Torre moved west, where Dodgers owner Frank McCourt, the executive producer of this picture, was happy to put his name in lights. Torre spent his first few months learning what his new players could do on the field. Not very much, as it turned out. For most of the season, the Dodgers languished in the middle of the pack, not bad enough to qualify as slapstick comedy, and not good enough for blockbuster status, just kind of average and bland. Then in late July, the Dodgers imported a new leading man. Manny Ramirez was the megastar the Dodgers needed. He's won the World Series. He knows the pressure of having the cameras on him and shrugs it off. His first week in a Dodger uniform, Manny began hitting home runs, and he's never stopped. He almost instantly became the most popular Dodger hitter since Mike Piazza, which is a bit of a shock since Manny only became available because his old team, the Boston Red Sox, came to loathe him. In Boston, Manny would loaf on the field and, at least once, was late to take the field because he was on his cell phone. But here, in Hollywood tradition, his rehab has become an inspirational tale. Manny's the first player at the stadium before games, the hardest worker on the team. His gregariousness has loosened up what was a notoriously taut clubhouse. He's converted cynical sports columnists into believers, and he's given $35,000, so far, to the cancer ward at Mattel Children's Hospital. There's a buzz in the stadium when Manny comes up, and wigs showing his trademark dreadlocks have been popular sale items at the concession stands. All this Manny love shows the value of star power in Los Angeles. Down in Anaheim, the Angels have had a much better year, and they have some great players like Vladimir Guerrero. Their late-season acquisition, Mark Teixeira, has been almost as potent at bat as Manny. But other than Angel fans, nobody knows it. That's because the Angels are an L.A. team in name only. Bill Dwyer, the Times' former sports editor, devoted a column this week to explaining how it is the best team in baseball isn't even the biggest sports story in its own city. Some of it's tradition, some of it culture. Vin Scully's a big part of it, too. Dodger fans have enjoyed the most revered voice in the game for 50 years, while the Angels have cast a long line of what Dwyer calls competent game describers. Whatever the reason, as the playoffs heat up next week, the Angels will be favorites to go all the way. Dodger fans just want to win a World Series game for the first time since 1988. It would be the best story of all if they were to meet in the World Series for the first time. But win or lose, we already know who owns the hearts of L.A. For KCRW, this has been Kevin Roderick with L.A. Observed.